Kevin, is we really just want to share with you something maybe that God has put on our heart or left on our heart still. There might be that one thing that we want to say to you, and then we're just going to open up if there's anybody that wants to say anything, or and then we'll close in prayer. But Allison, you have anything you want to share?
Just one thing that actually, those of you who were in my workshop yesterday probably didn't know this, but this was just, I've heard this a lot before, but I think it was just a word from the Lord for this conference, that your story, and I think I said it this morning, your story, this what's right in front of you, is a part of His story. And His story is for His glory. So therefore, there is no way He's not going to make something amazing out of your story. Just want to leave you with that.
That's really good. That's really good. The last few days, I guess it was Thursday night. Was that when we got the snow, or was it Wednesday night?
Wednesday.
Was it Wednesday? Okay. So I had to stay in a hotel in downtown Dallas again, so that I could make sure I would get into the radio station the next morning. And I just had the afternoon and the evening by myself, and I just wanted to spend that time with the Lord. I always have something I'm studying, something I'm memorizing, and something I'm learning from another teacher. So I have my own Bible study that I am doing with the Lord. I have a Bible study I am sitting on, I am doing underneath another teacher, and then I'm doing memory work at the same time. And so I was working on one of those, and somehow or another I landed in Psalm 73, and it was such a freedom verse. Verses 25 and 26 say, "Whom have I in heaven but you? Earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." And that's what freedom is. That's what freedom is. And so a little bit ago when I was talking about taste and see that He is better, there's so much freedom in realizing that the earth has nothing to offer. Your idols have let you down. And that which started out as fun has turned into the chains that have tripped you up and kept you ensnared. Whom have I in heaven but you? Earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And when you buy that, when you finally decide that that is your truth, you will have freedom, because there will be no chains left.
That's awesome. I just wanted to mention Paige. I wanted just to tell you how much she loves you all. Her and her husband fly out tomorrow, and her son is leaving the country, so she had to take care of a lot of details, but she hated missing this last session.
Well, as I was praying to come to this conference, I was very excited, and thank you so much for welcoming me here, Michelle. I appreciate that so much. It means a lot to my heart to be able to minister to these women here. But I would say the thing that kept coming up in my heart to speak with you all about is your words, your thoughts, and your words. God created you to control your reality, His reality. Do you know who you are? Do you really know who you are? You are the daughters of the King of the universe. Just think about that for a moment. You are royalty. You are a princess in the court of the King of the universe. You can change the way, and I was talking with Rebecca just before lunch. You can change your reality with your words. How did God create? We all know this. He spoke. Let there be light, and there was light. He created us in His image. Now, I'm not saying, that this is a bunch of hoopla. I'm going to win the $1 million on the lottery. I'm going to. No, in His will. His will is for you to be whole, to be full, to be spilling out, that your vessel is so full that you just spill out blessings on everyone else. So I want to challenge you one thing. Over the next week, when you think the negative thoughts, oh, I'm not pretty enough. Oh, I'm not good enough. I don't have enough joy right now. I'm walking through this battle and nobody can see it but me. I'm forgotten like Leah. You know, no one sees me, no one loves me. Stop right then. Change your mind and say, no. What does my God say about me? And you speak it. Okay, I'm not pretty enough. No. My God says he will take my ashes and turn them to beauty. He will take my story and he will touch someone else. I am beautiful. I am whole. I am glory to God. I am a diamond with many facets. I'm not perfect, but to God I am through the blood of Jesus. I keep thinking of the blood falling over the diamond that you shared yesterday. You are that perfect gift from God and to God. And your stories will change each other. But I challenge you that when you start feeling those negatives, when you start thinking those negatives and dwelling on those negatives, speak it. Say no. The word says, my God says, my Father, the King of the universe says, I am more than a conqueror. I am victorious. If you're having trouble with someone, say, you know, all of us have those people that come in and out of our lives that are, you know, they cause turmoil. What you need to do is when you feel that in your thoughts, in your spirit man, you need to say, bless them as you are blessing me, Father, and move on. I challenge you, though, to do that for 1 week. When you speak it, you hear it. It goes into your spirit. You think, 1 week, try it.
Can you hear me? Oh, yeah, you can. I can. I'm sorry. We can use this one.
No, that's good.
I think the one thing, I guess, that I would say, and I want to say to your table back there, too, because you guys are kind of around my age group and everything, but for everyone, normally during this time, I never have anything to say because I'm like, I just don't know what to say. But God put in my heart just to tell you guys that there is a place for you in everything, in all of this. And sometimes I remember being like a little girl and going to conferences like this with my mom and being like, we start to feel like if we aren't doing this, then we're not in ministry or we're not active in something or we're not contributing. And I just want to tell you that there's a place for you anywhere you are. I don't do this for a living. Like this, I'm 19 years old. I'm a student. I have friends. All of my friends are in Dallas. You know, I have life that I live. And I think at the end of the day, just to say to you guys that all of you, you know, your life and your sphere of influence, what you do matters. And you're influencing things and you're changing things, even if maybe you feel like you're not. Just you showing up and just you being who you are and caring, whatever it is that God has put inside of you, changes things. And so don't even compare. Like, I just don't want anyone to leave here thinking, well, if I don't have a platform ministry, I don't have a ministry, or maybe I need to start an organization. Like, if it's from God, it's from God, you know, and do it. Like, go for it. But also know that the passions that God's put inside of you, and just, you guys are, like, so much on my heart. I don't know why I'm talking about this, because y'all are, you know, you're a senior, and your sister is in eighth grade, and you're 17, and I didn't get a chance to meet you guys, but, like, you guys are coming into such a great time where you're going to transfer into this new thing. And it's tempting to start feeling like I need to have it figured out. I need to know what to do. And it gets scary because even now, I mean, I'm 2 years into college and people are still asking me what I'm doing with my life. And I'm like, I thought I'm doing what I'm supposed to do with my life. I'm in school. Like, what else do you want? You know, we start to feel pressured. But I just want to tell you, don't be pressured. Like, there are passions that God has put in your heart, and just pursue those. God will make a way for you. If you feel like you don't have the resources, God will give you the resources. God has put me through school. You know, God has always provided a way for me and always, you know, made everything happen that needed to happen. So if you have dreams that are crazy, dream those dreams and don't be scared. You know, I was a senior in high school, and God, I had wanted to go to Africa for a long time, but I was like, how am I going to go to Africa? I don't have a passport. Like, we start to think, there's no way I can do that. But I went, and God made a way, and it was smooth, and God did it. And so I just want to encourage you that there's a place for you, and if there's something in your heart that you want to do, do it. And don't be held back by yourself. Don't be held back by your thoughts or anything else, because God is gonna use you guys. And I mean everyone in the room, but you guys especially, because we're in a time where we need to be together. We need to work together. We need to, you know, encourage each other, because it's tempting to just be complacent, you know, and chill and not worry so much about what's going on around us. But God wants to use you guys to influence the things that are happening, even in your high school, and even, you know, as you walk just your day-to-day life, God is going to start using you in those areas. And you're going to see that God is eager to use you. He's ready. You know, he's waiting for you just to say, all right, God, you know, what do you want to do today? So I just want to encourage you and tell you, like, you're fully capable. You're fully equipped. Like, that was such a great word. And you're ready. You know, you might say, I'm too young. I was just telling my mom last night, I'm too young. Like, I feel weird, you know, I'm young. And it's easy. That's the right thing. That's the normal thing to think, you know. But just don't be held back by that. Don't limit yourself, because God wants to do a lot with you guys. So that's, I think, all I want to say. That was a lot. But
thank you. Thank you, Mommy. One of the things I want to share, and I really am a believer in marketplace ministry. Like Maddie said, none of us do this for a full-time living. We all have other things that we do. We're all in business in some way, and we're all working to provide for our families, just like you guys. And I'll just tell you that some of my greatest ministry, I mean, I love our conferences. I love being here with you. It is a part of, it's my heart. I mean, I think we've done like 8 now, and every time we go, there's evidence that this is where we're supposed to be. But I can tell you, at the same time, sitting at my restaurant, there are so many wounded people. And the reason why my heart is for you guys to get to the place where you feel whole and healed is so that you can go out and impart and give that away and pour that into others. It's not for us to just store up, but it's for us to impart. And so I know there's... It's funny because a guy, my parents called me, and my dad, my parents are in, they have a homeless ministry, and so my dad's always calling me for different stuff, and so he's like, I got this young man, he just got out of prison, he needs a job for like 4 weeks, and I'm like, okay, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to bring him over, you think you can help him out? And I'm like, yeah, we'll find something for him. He's like, he just got saved in prison, he's awesome, and I'm like, okay, Dad, this is how my dad, he's so cute. So I said, he's 75, and he still goes down on the streets, and he preaches to I'm not kidding, like, if you meet him, he will tell you about Jesus. He does not meet a person that he does not tell about Jesus. So he brings this young man over. He had met him at McDonald's, and he was really nice. His name was Arthur. His name is Arthur, and so we put him to work washing dishes, and slowly we began to get to know him, and turns out he had a country music contract, was making about $150,000 a year. So he was like, do you mind if I sing, you know? And I'm like, sure. I mean, he didn't tell me that first. He asked if he could sing, and he sang for us. And I was like, okay, you know, because I lived in Nashville 12 years, so I'm like, okay, I might could help you. You know, I'm like, you know, the guy was amazing. I mean, he could be George Strait or something. I'm serious. He was awesome. He sang last night at a restaurant and brought down the house. I mean, I was telling my husband, I'm like, wow, so many people love country music. He's like, honey, we're in Texas. I'm like, I know, but I didn't realize it was that big. It was huge. The guy just, they loved him. So, but anyway, he ended up blessing us. And I just say that because when he came to me and he said, I've been in prison, I was an addict. I'm like, oh, you're going to fit right in here. Because I'm not kidding. Ask Allison. We have a whole, and Rebecca, our whole team is either addicts now, I mean, still struggling, we still work with them, and or they were an addict, and, you know, we're always pouring into them. And we're always, you know, your ministry is in those conversations. My ministry is when one of my girls on my team, one of my chefs, called me the other day and said, Michelle, this makes me want to cry, Michelle, I almost OD'd 2 days ago, and I'm really struggling, and I don't know if I can come to work today, because and I just don't want to lose my job. And I'm like, forget about the job. I go, just, are you going to be okay? I will sit down with you, whatever I need to do. And that, to me, that's an opportunity to demonstrate who Christ is. Yes, we need to run a business, but the good thing is I cook and so does my husband. But the thing is that, you know, you just got to be there for people in those moments. So you all are as much in ministry as we are. We're just here because God brought us to serve you today, but we're not any different. And you have a platform just like us, doing whatever it is God called you every day and whatever it is you're doing. He needs an army. We need an army right now. Okay, he's raising up an army. This day and age, it's going to take an army of warriors. So we're going to open up the floor. And if there's anybody, you know, we never know how this time is going to go. But if you have any questions for us before we pray and take time to pray with you all, you know, please let us know. Did you want to say something, honey?
No, I was saying, do you want me to take the mic around?
Oh, yeah, that's perfect. Thank you. She's so on it. I'm like, you are, that's good. Is there anybody that may have a question for us?
Can you guys, as mother and daughter, just kind of talk about your relationship and struggles maybe a little bit and how you've overcome those a little bit?
No, yeah, we're perfect, actually. That's a hard question to answer. Yeah, no, we can talk about it.
Yeah.
Should have been in the car last night.
Yeah. You know, there. Wait, what did you say? Oh, yeah. We were. My mom was like, Maddie, why are you driving so fast? I was like, I'm not driving fast. You know, I'm sure if you have a daughter, you have that conversation.
I'm like, you're
following
too close to that truck.
Every time I get in the car with her, I'm like, I'm not driving again. I'm not doing it. Because she's always, you know, she's such a mom.
But she didn't just have me. She had me and Allison and my mom all going,
oh, my God.
Hello.
And my meemaw, I mean, yeah, she spoke to y'all, but she's my meemaw. So she's like, Madison, stop. I was like, okay. But do you want to go first?
No, you can.
Well, okay. Our relationship has been progressive and a process. We've always been close since we were young, or since I was young. Well, she was young when I was, you know. No. You were, I don't know how old you were when you had me, but we've always been close because my mom is I was telling Allison last night at the restaurant, my mom's such a rescuer, you know? She's such like, she just brings them in, and I think she gets that from my grandfather because he's so much like that. And she loves people. I mean, sometimes to the point where I'm like, Mom, you gotta let that one go, you know? But she loves people. I mean, and so she's like that with her kids too. She's loved me through a lot of things, and there were times when I was rebellious and I didn't want really a close relationship with my mom because I was angry and I was, you know, processing through life. And my mom was really patient during that time, and I think that helped a lot. She didn't smother me, you know. She walked with me and she always told me that she was there for me. And I think the main reason why we're so close is because I always know she's there. You know, I'm in school, I'm away, but, like, I could call her, and she would be there. She would drop everything, and I know that. And I think having that brings me so much comfort, you know, because I'm away, I'm trying to do my own thing. I'm trying to kind of start this next season of my life, but knowing that I have her, I mean, I'll come home. I love to just randomly come home, like, not tell her I'm coming and just show up. Because she gets like the other day I walked into the restaurant, she was screaming. Like, I thought she burned herself. She was like, oh my gosh. And, you know, she hadn't even seen me. It had only been like a week. And that's the kind of reaction, which is, it just like, that makes me feel so good, you know. And she stopped. She was like, well, what are you doing? Like, let's go to lunch. Like, I can move some things around. And just knowing that I'm a priority in her life makes me who I am in so many ways. Because I feel safe, you know. Circumstances are not always right. It's not like our life is perfect. Like, there are times when I'm stressed. I was just back there. Rebecca came in. She's like, can I eat? I was like, I need a moment with my mom because I was upset about something. And she just listened. And, you know, there's not always an answer, but just knowing that she's there and she always does her best. And to encourage some of you mothers too, like, you might feel like you aren't reaching your daughter, especially if she's a teenager, it's hard. But just knowing she's there
it changes them, you know, and it changes me. And so we've had our struggles, and we still do. I mean, we're both very opinionated people, you know, and when I have an opinion, I have it, and it's hard to change it. So she has a lot to deal with, but she's just always there. She always loves me. She's so unconditional in her love. It really is amazing because, you know, me and my brothers have all walked down a separate road, but there have been times where you think, oh, she's gonna be so mad. She mentioned I got in a car accident, and I totally got in a car accident last week. And she called me the day I got in it, and before I left the house, she said, Maddie, I don't know why, but she called me twice. She called me and texted me. Maddie, don't leave the house. Don't leave your house. I don't know what you're doing today, but just don't leave the house. It's gonna get bad. And I was like, yeah, whatever. And I decided I want to go on an adventure because, you know, the ice and the snow. And so I don't have a car, but my best friend has a car. And so she was like, Maddie, you can drive. And so I was like, awesome. So I got in the car and I'm listening to music. I told myself I'm never going to listen to the song I was listening to when I got in a wreck because it just reminds me of like, but like I'm driving along, everything's good. And I totally wreck her car. Like it's so bad that I wrecked a car, but I wrecked a car that wasn't mine. That is so wrong, you know, so wrong. And I didn't want to call my mom because like she told me do not leave the house. She told me twice, and I left the house. I totally disobeyed. And like, you know, I'm in college, so it's like, well, okay, look, I'm a good driver, but it was because the ice was there. No, I'm serious. I think I'm the best driver in our family. Like, seriously, I'm legitimately a great driver, but that's not the point of the story, because I'm getting a little worked up about that, right? Like, no, but the point was my mom had told me twice, and I didn't want to call her, because I was just like, I knew, okay, now I have responsibility, because I wrecked the car, and I was thinking about so many things, and I'm going on spring break. I was like, can I go on spring break? I was just thinking about just being a teenager, so I waited till like midnight to call in fact, I didn't even call my mom, actually. My mom called me. And I was like, okay, she called, so I'm just going to tell her. And so I told her, I was like, Mom, I need to tell you something. And my mom always jumps. You know, I don't know if you guys are all like this, but my mom jumps to the worst thing. She's like, what did you do? What happened? Oh, my gosh. I'm like, no, everything's fine. And I was so sad that I did this. So I was, like, really emotional. And the first thing she said was, like, Maddie, I'm just glad you're safe. Like, you should have called me. I could have helped you. I could have, you know, but I was honestly ashamed. I know it sounds intense, but I felt so bad that I didn't listen to her, you know, and I wrecked my friend's car. But that was just a great example of how she's always there. And it was funny. I was like, I just called you to tell you that. She was like, Maddie, you didn't even call me. I called you. I'm like, I know, it's true. So, yeah.
Well, I want to just say a couple things to that. First of all, I was a very rebellious daughter. Some of it was my own rebellion. My parents were radically saved, and I did not get saved when they got saved. I mean, I thought they were absolutely crazy. I mean, my mom would say to me, you will be a Christian. And you saw my mom. I mean, she's pretty firm. And I said to her, I will never be a Christian. So I haven't had a child like that, really. I thought I was going to have four like that because I really felt like I deserved it after me being the one that was like that. But my oldest son is 23, and my second one is about to be 22. And then her youngest brother, is 17. And I just want to share that all of my kids have, I think they've all smoked pot. I'm just saying. Like, I mean, what is this relevant?
I'm gonna
answer
that question.
Because they weren't yes, just all these. They weren't just all these perfect kids. I mean, they've gone through things. My son at one point came to me and said, Mom, you know, I'm struggling with pornography. And I had another son who, my oldest son, was agnostic I think Allison remembers that, Josh, when he was agnostic. I thought I was going to, you talk about your heart every single night. I'd be praying, Lord, just don't let him die right now. Just don't let him die. My only peace was knowing that before he was even born, the Lord showed me a vision for his life. So with each of them, you know, I think it's more in the response because they're really going to do things. And I have just always given them that opportunity to tell me and to not react to what they tell me, but to talk to them about how I can help them in their sin. And when Maddie was, and she shares this when she does youth conferences and stuff, she shares about her cutting, and she was doing this. Her teacher called me and Miss Lane, who was, you know, God brings people into your children's lives. And I've always prayed, and I've always put great women around her, and I've always put great men around my sons, especially not having a husband. I was a single mom for 7 years, so, and I really never thought I'd get married again, to be honest with you. I really did not. But I always made sure that my boys had strong men and strong people with marriages that were really good because, you know, they saw a divorce. So I wanted them to know that there is good marriage, too. So I think the most important thing in raising my kids is just really, you know, again, taking time. And it's funny because I remember they still laugh at me because when I was a single mom and I would ride around with them in the car, we used to sing We Are the Champions. You know that song?
We are the champions.
And I would just tell them, we're champions. We're overcomers, you know. And I remember my youngest son saying to me, Mom, nobody likes me at school. My youngest son, Jacob, he was only like 8. And he got in trouble all the time. I mean, he was my one that all the time the school would call me and I'd be like, okay, what is it? And it was always just stupid stuff. Like, Jacob, in quiet time, he was laying across the desk and he doesn't want to sit there like the other kids. And this is so bad of me, but I'm like, well, what's wrong with that? I mean, if I was watching a movie, I'd want to lay across the desk. I didn't say that, but that's what I was thinking. But so, you know, I was never one to like school. So my children are very creative and they're very, and I just have really understood that part of their journey is going to be the mistakes that they make. And how I respond is going to dictate my voice in their life. And I have just always wanted to make sure that they never shut that voice out. And so I'm just there for them, whatever it is. I talked, my oldest son was so depressed the other night, and I just spoke into his life. And he was like, Mom, you know, I'm so low right now. And he's in Nashville, and he's an artist, a musician, and he's very, very, very gifted. And I just said to him, I said, you know what, Josh? Everything you're saying to me is nothing you can't change. Or God can't change. Everything you're saying to me, because, you know, we know someone, and I have someone who I go and help every week, and I'm not saying this about me at all, but she's in a wheelchair. I mean, she literally, it takes her an hour just to get into her bed because of the process of everything she has to go through. And honestly, to me, that's Christianity. To me, being there with her is Christianity, because there's times I don't want to go over there because I'm so exhausted or whatever. And every time I do, the love that God puts in my heart for her. And so, you know, all I'm saying is her life, she can't change right now unless God does a complete miracle in her body. But, you know, and it's just those opportunities of being able to sow into them when they're in need. And I'm just thankful that they still call me as adults. And it's hurtful to me. I have one son going through a lot right now. He's not walking fully in the Lord. I mean, he loves the Lord, but he's not completely surrendered. And you can see the results of that in his life. And it's painful. But I just pray a lot. And that's what my parents did. I would say prayer is huge.
Kind of on the same topic, I was a single mom for 9 years. And so I felt like I had to be the strong one, you know, the big courageous one with the broad shoulders. So therefore, my daughters know a lot of things that happened to me over the years, but they don't know everything. I've always kind of held back part of that. And I think part of it is shame, even though I know the Lord has forgiven me. But I guess my question to you is, were you apprehensive in telling Madison about the abortion? Is it something you felt like you had to do?
Well, when the Lord really convicted my heart to write about it in one of my books, I think there's a season for everything. And I think I can't tell you when the right time is to talk to your kids about certain things, because I just knew there were certain things I told Maddie that I did not tell my boys, because they weren't ready to hear it. And each child is so different. She was very mature from a very young age, and she was very close to me. It'd be almost impossible to hide anything from her. I mean, she read all my books and put marks through all of them. I mean, so, you know, she's just that one child. In fact, you know, I just told my boys some of the things that happened in our divorce, and that was 13 years ago. So, I mean, literally, I think it was this last summer. And that's because they were ready. They weren't ready before that. And so I know even with Allison's experience, you know, she waited to tell her children certain things. But they, you know, I was always honest with them for the most part. There were certain things they didn't need to know. But, you know, when we got divorced, I told them, Mommy is hurting. Mommy's not doing well. I mean, I didn't try to make it look like everything's great. I always was very open. And unfortunately, they had to go through a lot of my poor judgment, especially dating. I was a wreck, so. and see a lot of the hurt that I had to go through as a result, you know, because, you know, I was just in a very vulnerable place. But they've seen the other side of that, and you just have to trust it. So I would just say you really have to pray and ask God for discernment, because there's no answer for one person. It's not the same for everybody.
Yeah, do you have something?
I know that when I went through my year and a half of craziness, which you know a lot of, you went to my workshop, my son was very present. He was, I believe, seven to eight and a half, nine. And he walked through that with me, and I tried the best I could. I would call it a functioning alcoholic at that time. And because I had the job, I kept the job, I was normal at work. But when I came home and when he went to sleep, I was hitting the bottle. And it got to the point where I was hitting the bottle on my way home from work, which is not good. But my son saw a lot of my brokenness. And that is, I understand what you're saying, because I hurt all the time for having put him through that. Mm-hmm. And for him to see that side of me that I didn't even know existed, because I was such a different person all my life until that one season, you know. But now he understands. He says, Mom, I see what God took you through or brought you out of. I took myself there, but what he brought you out of. And I think in a way that gives him hope that he knows I'm never going to go back there again, because he sees the strength in me now that God has placed there. God has replaced all of that stuff, all that nasty, yucky stuff, with the strength and the power and the joy and the hope and the love. And he sees that. And I'm sure that your family, your sons and daughters, I don't know if you have a son or daughter, two girls, they see that. They see that transformation. If, you know, if they saw anything that you went through, they see that transformation also. And that is one of the biggest testimonies that you can give to your daughters. Because for my son, it's like, wow, Mom, you know, where he took you, you're even stronger than you were before. And it's the truth. And God restores. And when he restores, it's a total refinement. And they see that. And it is a testimony, even though we carry that, oh, we shouldn't, oh, I hate that they saw me going through that. But I believe it's a testimony also to the redemptive power of Christ and his blood.
Well, I know that's the truth.
Yes. It's still hard.
Yeah. And as the daughter, I think what she said is great. And I think as your kids get older, I mean, obviously I don't have kids, but coming from the child's perspective, as I got older, things made more sense. I never understood why my mom was so open, because sometimes her openness did it, because as a child, it is hard watching your parents go through something that you feel like you can't help them with, because even as a kid, you want to help them. But I helped my mom the best way that I could. You know, I was always there for her. But as an adult now, or, you know, whatever, like, I don't really consider myself an adult, that's why I said that, but I understand why she was so open, because when it was relevant, and I think that's the important thing, when it was relevant, she would share with me how to help me. Like, I wanted to make that point because sometimes it's not always relevant, and sometimes the information hurts more than it helps. One of my brothers has so many questions, and he's really like, he's always asking, even me, and I'm like, we lived it together, like, I don't remember, but he always has questions, and my mom answers them, even though it's hard for her, because for some reason that helps him process. I don't need that, so she doesn't do that with me. If I have a question, I'll ask, but I think what's good is that she identifies how we all process and tries to help us in that way. So, like, you know, I just do it different, so she works with me different. And when the information helps me and makes me understand something better, she'll share. But she doesn't share too much because for me it is hard, you know. And I do think that you guys as the parents hurt more in that area than you think we do. Because every time I talk about something, my mom will always say, Maddie, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, Mom, I'm okay. Like, it's okay. Yes, it was bad, but, you know, it's okay. Because people are resilient. And even though they're your kids and you feel like you want to protect them, they're resilient too. And they're strong. And, you know, I had to be strong. And sometimes that's just necessary. So I think that point would just be like when it's relevant. But if it's not, you know, and God will always show you, like they're saying, what to share and when to share. And you know.
Yeah, of course. One more thing. Even last year, my son was questioning some things, and I saw that he was directing some anger towards a different person. And when I stepped back and thought, okay, what's going on here? We went out and sat on the back porch, and I said, honey, you're not mad at that person. You're mad at me. I'm the one that let you down. I am so sorry. And we had this heart-to-heart conversation. And this was, you know, nearly 10 years ago. And he sat in my lap. He's 6'2". He sat in my lap, and we cried. And God provided some healing. That was just a year ago. That healing does come. It may come out slowly for your children if they walk through things with you. It may come out slowly, but you deal with it, and God will help you as a mother to minister to their hearts. Yep, and absolutely. And in that moment, when I realized that his anger was towards me, and I thought, I have never, because he felt, and what I told him, he felt like, you had said it, I think, he felt like he had to take care of me. He had to protect me because I was a single mother, and he was the hero. You know, his dad was very absent from his life, and he thought that he was mama's hero, and he was the man of the house, and he felt like he had to take care of me. And I told him, when he's sitting in my lap last year, and we're crying, I said, you can retire now.
Yeah.
I don't need you to take care of me. It's okay. Mm-hmm. We have Brant now.
So, can I just say something about that?
Yeah.
So, retire. Be a kid.
I think that's something that you need to be aware of is your stuff, whether you think it does or not, will in some way have an impact on your kids. And in our case, I tried to protect my kids so much. And we had an experience like that with my son right before he got married. Rich had told him what had happened when he was in high school. And, you know, I don't think a high schooler had a full understanding of what had happened. And, Oh, all right. So we're here. We have survived an affair. It happened a long time ago. But when my husband told, when Rich told our son CJ about it, CJ was in high school, and you know, as much as a high schooler could yell, Dad, that's all right. I'm good. Well, it wasn't until our son went through marriage counseling that the depth of that hit him. And while we had moved past it, we had to help CJ walk through that. And you have to be ready for that. Yes. It doesn't happen with all kids. Some kids may never have it hit them like that. But our son's very sensitive. He comes across as a tough guy. He's got tattoos, but he's sensitive. And just watching him, I mean, for 2 days, it was like you said, he was up in the bonus room in a fetal position on the couch crying, just letting it all out, everything he had realized, because now that he was entering into that kind of a relationship, he understood. You know, and it makes me emotional to think about that. But you have to be there and be ready to walk that with your kids and share your healing with them.
I want to say one last thing about that, and we'll move on to the next question. But I think it's so important that your kids see that you own your stuff, you know. And I remember my son getting in trouble. My oldest son, he had stolen some, he stole Christmas decorations out of people's yards. And it was, he happened to steal the baby Jesus, of course. So when we're in court, they're like, Joshua Tucholsky stole the baby Jesus. And so, of course, I'm like, my son was the one who took the Jesus, of course. So anyway, he tried to, you know, when he sat down with me, he's like, Mom, we were just doing fun things. We were just messing around, you know. And I go, uh-uh. No, no, no. You need to own that now, or God's going to have to teach you. So you need to own your stuff. So they have to see you own your stuff, too. And I did. It was hard, you know, because, but I confess, you know, I when my son, you know, was like, Mom, you know, there was just different things that were hurtful to him. I always just said yes, and I'm so sorry that that happened, you know. But it was cool because he was really angry for my oldest for quite a few years, and really angry with their dad. And it's been kind of cool because, again, I have a wonderful husband, okay? So he has even allowed us to have that conversation with all my children, with my ex-husband. And my husband was there, my ex-husband, and all my children. And just to show you how God works, because not too many men, Michael is a phenomenal person. He's a minister, too, and he has a heart for my ex-husband. So it was cool because there was a lot of healing this last summer. Because really, they were, my boys were like you, were mad at their dad. How could you do this? And they don't understand it, but they were able to talk about it for the first time with all of us. And so it was a really cool experience. And so that was, again, it was 13 years ago. You just have to, you never know when those moments are, and you just use discernment during them. Can I take another, is there another question? Wait just a second in case anybody, don't be afraid. I used to be so afraid to like stand up. Like if somebody would have done that, I would have just been sitting there like getting knots in my stomach and feeling really sick. Don't get sick, don't feel afraid. If you have a question, stand up and say it. We're all just laid back here. Anybody else before we go on to some prayer? Okay. Do you guys have any closing, anything you want to say? Oh, yes. Can you repeat that? I'm so sorry. We can't hear you.
I said all of you have been through some pretty tremendous things, some pretty outrageous things that are common to a lot of people. And as God has worked those things out in your life and healed you and made you whole and transformed you into who you are now, in the midst of everyday life, children, family, business, relationships with your spouse, how do you keep up with the fact that you have continually been changing and evolving and growing, and maybe your children aren't keeping up, maybe your spouse isn't keeping up, maybe, you know, all of that is so evolutionary. And it's, I guess I'd kind of like to know how all of that change within you personally has affected the close relationships you have with other people in your family.
The I'm sorry, the culture of...
Right.
She's asking you, like, between your day-to-day life and everything around you, how does your healing and your transition and transformation affect the people around you? And how do they, basically, how do they deal with that?
Yeah. I just want to make sure that it was the right, I answered it in the way that the question's being asked. Rebecca's going to speak to that too, but I for me, you know, again, it's all about a process. God chose a unique person in my life to be there, and I'm speaking specifically of my husband, who there's some things he can't enter in. You know, I've learned that I stay most focused on where God has me and not as concerned about if, you know, where they're at, you know, as far as their, how they feel about what's going on as far as the process and the transformation. A lot of my personal healing and that journey with my children, that's one of the sacrifices Michael has had to make. You know, he wasn't married or had kids, so this was, you know, he took on that when we got married, you know, and we've been married almost 5 years. So the way that it's affected, you know, we've had a transition in our marriage that's been pretty challenging. But again, it's, and one thing I wanted to show my kids is that you don't stop fighting. I mean, you have to fight for what you believe in. And I'd still be married if someone wanted to quit. And so what I show them is we don't quit, no matter what. And so my whole thing is to continue to work through. It's just, it's an everyday thing that takes a lot of energy, but it's a process, so.
So my calling was dramatic. My husband and I, when we got married, were also drinking buddies. And we hung out with different people than we hang out with now. And my deliverance was very swift. My eating disorder deliverance was not. That was a long fight. It was a long fight. But my alcoholism deliverance was very quick. And one of the things that I was so afraid was, how was our relationship going to change? And my husband was the last person I told. On my way home, I went through a big, long list of people, and I called my husband last because I was so afraid that he wasn't getting who he married, because he wasn't getting who he married at all. And if you had known me 15 or 20 years ago, and someone had said, she'll be in ministry, you would have been like, So the Lord told me two things. He said, you and your husband are one flesh. Now, this was my word. This may not be your word, but this was my word. I will not take you anywhere. I will not take your husband. So then he told me another thing that was very powerful. He said, this is your journey. Do not judge. It is very tempting when you feel some deliverance in an area, all of a sudden that you start really noticing the other people who struggle. And God was very firm with me. You are not to count your husband's drinks. You are not to talk about that person in that sense. You are not to watch other people and count their sin. And it's tempting, and you're going to want to do it, and you're going to have to fight that. But your healing journey is your healing journey, and he will deal with other people in their time, and it is most likely not your place, if you are very young in your healing, to bring that word of deliverance to them. That is going to come when you are a little bit further along in your walk and when you have walked out a measure of healing. Another thing is, after a big, swift deliverance, it is very tempting to start. You want to start speaking about it right away. That's not the time. You need years behind you. You typically need some wisdom stripes on your sleeve. And so it doesn't come immediately. But you worry about your healing. You trust the Lord with your healing. And then you let the Lord handle the people around you. I will also tell you that God has called me into, with the ministry that I have, it's lonely sometimes. So, you know, I love what Maddie had to say about a platform ministry. A platform ministry can be very lonely. The number of my friends has drastically decreased, but the depths of my friendships have grown immensely. And I really wouldn't have it any other way. But the Lord will work on those who are around you. You are a living testimony to them. As he is working out his healing into you, my family cannot believe me. They don't know what to do with me. One of my sisters refuses to read my book. You know, they think that I am, you know, I was raised Episcopalian, which is just one notch under Catholicism as far as high church goes. And so this isn't them. They don't like it. They don't understand it. And so I just can't worry about that. Yeah.
talking to you. I just want to say that that in that, that the people, you know, for me it was a while ago, but when you're walking that out and just the people that are around you, you know, as Rebecca said, there's going to be a lot. You'll be surprised how many, just by you walking it out and not saying anything, how many people will actually come along. I mean, my mom walked it out for 20 years. She was the first one in her family to be delivered from all the things she had gone through. And all her brothers, her sister, and her mother, who all made fun of her, put her down, all ended up becoming Christians. And so I think the way you, like Rebecca said, to not judge, to just love them, and it's hard because you want to go, hey, you know, this helped me. You need to do this. But really, they, you know, it's like my mom said to me the other night, people have to want freedom. And you can't, you have to be ready for it. And so you have to wait until that time for them to be ready. But
it's real quick. Brant, close your ears. No, just kidding. Just kidding, honey. Brant, leave the room. We're going to talk about you. No, when I finally received my healing, Brant and I were not together. The Lord took us apart so that we could find our healings alone. We had to get to that point before he would bring each other. And neither one of us knew that we were going to be back in each other's lives one day. We loved each other deeply, but it was just wrong time, right person, wrong time. So while I was receiving my healing, I had a dream. And Jesus was in this dream, and I, you know, he called my name. I knew it was him. And arm in arm, we're walking along this beautiful babbling brook. And we're talking about my journey, and he said, you know, I'm going to restore you. You're going to be wonderful. You just have to walk through this. You know, and he's encouraging me. And I said, but Lord, what about Brant? And because what he's doing is wrong. You know, he should be here, and he knows that. And Jesus, in my dream, stopped me, and he grabbed both of my shoulders, and face to face to me, he said, Brant is my business. You get yourself right. You have enough to work on. You let me worry about Brant. So I think that's, you know, and that dream, when I woke up, and it changed me. And so that's how I kind of relate to anybody within my family. You know, I have a family in Kansas City area who are very scientific and intellectual and very, you know God. God does not exist. It's all science, you know, it explains it. And I can't worry about them. I have to worry about my life, my journey. And, you know, the more I walk with the Lord, the more they're going to see and witness that walk with the Lord and see how it's changing my life. And it's going to be a walking testimony to the people who are around me.
Any more questions? Yes.
Maddie, you want to go? How do you get up?
She has a really tall heel.
I know. I don't know how she wears those. Those are killer.
I heard one of you mention someone close to you who didn't share your beliefs or your faith. When you did decide to follow Christ, how did you deal with the possible ridicule or unsupportiveness of those extremely close to you, maybe a mother or a spouse or a sibling, etc.?
Yeah, my family, very different than me, very nominal Christians. None of them have Bibles. None of them, you know, I mean, yeah, they could take it or leave it, honestly. God just said, you just follow me. And, you know, when they ask, I'm honest. I'm just honest. You know, do not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I have actually had, and it's taken some time to feel strong enough, but I have actually had some amazing conversations with my mother and shared with her one time about how the Lord appeared to me in my car. And, you know, she kind of struggled with that. She didn't really believe that. And I said, Mom, how else do you explain me? How else are you going to explain me? Because you knew me. You were there. You watched. You held my hair when I was throwing up because I was so drunk. And they can't fight our testimonies. They don't have to believe in the Bible. But nothing's more powerful than the testimony of a transformed life. You know, so also the other thing I study is apologetics, which is defending the faith and answering the skeptics. And, you know, you hear about people having debates. That's something I'm very interested in. But what I have learned and what the Lord has shown me when you are studying why Christianity is true and just how much science there is to back up what we know and all of the archaeology that supports the Bible, it's really tempting to beat them with their knowledge, because I could if I wanted to. I could win the argument if I wanted to. But it really makes no sense to win an argument and lose a person. And so what I will typically say is, you know what, actually this is something I study and this is something I'm very passionate about. There's a lot of evidence. If you are ever interested, I would love to talk to you about it. They usually don't want to, because they just want you to be wrong, you know, but at least that's my experience. But I would just say, be true to the Lord. Yeah. Don't lie. Don't cover up who you are. And God is very, very, very faithful to give us the words that we need to say when it is time to say it, and oftentimes not a minute sooner.
I want to add to that that, you know, it's so important that people see relationship versus religion. And I know there's a lot of people in our restaurant that aren't saved. And I learn how to find a place of commonality to talk to them and hear them. Because until they have a relationship with you, they're not going to listen to you anyway. And I know the girl who brought me to the Lord just loved me. It was her love and her heart to serve me. I mean, she literally slept on her floor when I stayed the night at her house, on a wood floor. And it was just that love changed my life forever. So just like Jesus said, I mean, the greatest of these is love. Love, 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 love. And it's loving people in their stuff and in their mess and everything, and just praying about the right time to speak into their life when it's necessary. The girl that called me and said she OD'd, I said to her, I'm available to you, but I'm not forcing myself on her, because if she's not ready, then she doesn't need me. She has to want to come and hear the gospel. She knows that I represent the gospel. They know. It's obvious. They will know you by your fruits. It's undeniable. People that come in our restaurant know we're Christians. They know. So, and we put it on our website too, so they know. It's on our bios and stuff. Anybody else before we
Did that
close?
Answer your question? Okay.
Yeah. Did we answer your question? I was going to ask that. Do you feel like it was answered? Okay. Do you have something, Chris?
I wanted to say something to Chelsea. I'm so glad you're here. Aww. And those that know who you are, and we love you. We're just so happy that you're here. But what I feel like the Lord is saying is that you don't have to say anything. You don't have to say a word. That your life is going to be a testimony just by the drastic change when you make a decision to give your life to Christ fully. The change in your life and your lifestyle is going to speak volumes. It's not going to be your words. It's not going to be your words to your mom. It's not going to be your words to Axel or the rest of the family. It's going to be your changed life. Yeah. And so so once you make that decision and you drive that stake into the ground and you decide that this is it, that I'm going to make that choice to follow Christ regardless of what everybody else is saying, and he makes that change in your life, it's going to speak volumes to those around you. But that's not what you need to worry about. It's putting that stake in the ground.
Mm-hmm. Our T-shirt out there says, tell your story, love out loud. And there's a reason for that, because our stories really do make a difference in people's lives. And I just want to say, even with other Christians, I mean, we're talking about unbelievers right now, but everybody's in a different place in their journey, and you have to love them where they're at. You know, I have three brothers and a sister, and none of us are in the same place, not one of us. And I was telling Maddie back there, you know, I don't think any of my brothers have read my books. You know, she was disappointed about one of her brothers today. And I just said, you know what, my brothers, you know, they don't, it's Michelle. You know, I don't even know if they know. If I ask them the name of my book, I doubt they know. I'm not joking. I'm not kidding. And But you know, that's not why I wrote it. You know, I just, if I love them. I try to be there for them anytime they need me to. And I'm praying that one day that they demonstrate that in their life, you know. And they love God, but are they living it out fully and demonstrating it every day? You know, they're all in a different place. So you got to love even Christians, you know, around you. And I always tell my kids, it takes 100% of your time to take care of you. And it takes 100% of my time to take care of me. I can't worry about how Chris is doing things, or how Rebecca's doing things, or Christy, or compare myself to anybody, because, man, I've got my own stuff I've got to deal with the Lord. So we're going to take some time. Did you have a question? Oh, okay. You're just touching your hair. You're like, oh, no. No, I wasn't. Just my hair. Just flipping, doing the hair flip. We're going to go ahead and pray with you guys. If you need some prayer other than just us closing in prayer, we're going to stay after. And we'll be out there as well to and make ourselves available to you one last time. And we just want to thank you for coming, for spending your time with us this week. We just love you all. Right? I just have such a love for this church. I mean, all of us have said this has just been amazing for us. So.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, all right. Let's bow our heads, shut our eyes, and bow our hearts. And enter into that place of grace. And as the Father opens his arms and his heart to you, you are so welcome here. You are so welcome in his presence with all your sin and all your stains and all of your failures. You are so welcome in his presence. He delights in you. He delights in you. And he knew you would fail. And he knows you're going to make mistakes. And he looks on you as a mommy and a daddy watching their 11-month-old baby learn to walk. Don't you ever think for a second that when you fall, your Father is hovering over to condemn you, because he is hovering over you to pick you up. You're so beautiful in your imperfection. His blood washes you whiter than snow. Take a deep breath in and exhale deeply. And as you breathe in, you are breathing in the very breath of God as his Spirit moves fruit through this place. And as you breathe out, you are breathing out self. And then you take another deep, pure breath in of Spirit. And that Spirit warms you, and it pushes everything else out. If there are any among us who are questioning their salvation, who have not taken a step of faith, let's do that now. Father, we confess to you that we are sinners. We are broken. We go our own way. We make our own rules. We create our own gods, and we are weary. And we don't want to carry this baggage anymore. God, come into our lives. Come into our hearts. Be the Lord of my life, Lord. Pray that. Be the Lord of my life. Tell him that you trust him as your Savior. I don't want to go my own way anymore. I don't want to do it by myself anymore, Jesus.
I give it to you. Jesus, I give you my sin. And I accept your robe of salvation. You wore a crown of thorns for me so I could wear a crown of a princess before you, and I receive it now. You bled so that my sin and my stains would be washed away. I believe it. You took the punishment for everything I've ever done, every word I've ever said, every thought I've ever thought that was against you. You took the punishment. God will never be angry at me because he exhausted his wrath on you, and I receive it. I am not worthy, and I receive it. Father, we accept your forgiveness. We receive your grace. And we want to walk in freedom and in salvation and glorify you through our lives. He uses broken, beat up, bruised bench warmers because that's all he has. Thank you, God. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for what you've done here the past few days. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.